Last week I mentioned that the gospel was an example of what we would call apocalyptic literature. And apocalyptic literature is literature that causes us to calls us and invites us to rebuild. And today's gospel is not an example of apocalyptic literature. However, the feast day today, Christ the King, does have many apocalyptic aspects to it. Let me explain to you by going back to 1925, several years after the First World War, war that was supposed to end all wars. And Pope Pius XI looks around the world, and what does he see? He sees Mussolini and his fascist government rising in Italy. He sees fractured Germany and this new star in Germany by the name of Adolf Hitler rising there as well. And he looks at Soviet Russia and he sees Joseph Stalin more and more entrenched in power there. He looks around and sees unemployment everywhere, poverty everywhere. People are losing hope, wondering where they're going to find any hope. And he realized he has to do something, somehow to give people a sign, some kind of a symbol to offer hope to them who seem to be so hopeless. And so he decides on this idea of a king. Now, not a great idea for Americans as far as kings are concerned, but for Europe, maybe the right image to use. And so in 1925, to offer these people hope, he proclaims this great feast we celebrate today, the Feast of Christ the King. Not a king of palaces or of royal robes or of crowns, but a king of a kingdom that today he calls paradise. In the gospel today, the rulers sneered, the soldiers jeered, and one of the criminals reviled Jesus. Everybody was against him as he hung there on the cross. Then there was this other criminal who turns toward him and simply calls him Jesus. We realize in the Gospel of Luke, no one has ever called Jesus simply by his first name before. This criminal is the first. He calls him Jesus, and he says, "Remember me. Jesus, would you remember me?" What a remarkable, exquisite prayer. Jesus, remember me. While everybody else is sneering, jeering, and reviling, this one person, this criminal on the cross, sees Jesus as someone different, a rather strange kind of a king. Not to be sneered at, jeered at, or reviled, but someone in his hopelessness to offer him a new vision, a new life, a new forgiveness, hope in the midst of his hopelessness. So I want you to imagine for a moment, and I don't think you and I really can, to imagine what it's like to be hanging on a cross. And the more I read about what it was like for these people on the cross, how horrific and inhuman it was that these people, what they put up with hanging on the cross, turning and saying to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And I can imagine Jesus, and he does this to anybody that wants to really get to know him. I can imagine him turning, giving him his complete, total, undivided attention, and saying these remarkable words, "Today, right now, at this moment, you will be with me in paradise." All of a sudden, hope in the midst of hopelessness. But let me for just one moment try to unpack for you exactly what Jesus said to him and why it gave him so much hope. What Jesus was definitely not saying to him was, "Listen, when this is all over, when we're dead from these crosses here, I'll meet you in heaven. I'll meet you in the life after death." He absolutely was not saying to him that. The word paradise for the Jew in those days had nothing to do with life after death. Nothing to do with some other world. It was something completely about this world, refreshment and rest in this world right here and right now. So what he was saying to him, "I'm offering you forgiveness. I'm offering you mercy. I'm offering you a whole new life right here and right now, today, not tomorrow, not some other time, right now, you are with me in paradise. You are now in right relationship with me and right relationship with my Father at this very moment. Now, to me, that's a lot. That's really kind of huge. I mean, that's the kind of stuff we're selling here, you know, Sunday after Sunday. I don't know if you got all that that I just shared with all of you. To try to make the point, let me be personal for a moment, if I may, and try to share a little bit of you of my own heart. I know it's a kind of a risky business to do that, but I'd like to do that today for just a moment. And there's a question that you guys never ask me, but it's a question I ask myself every single day. Now, I know this is my vocation, not my job, by the way. This is my vocation. You know, I get all that. But here's the question I ask myself all the time. Why do I do this day in and day out? What makes me get up in the morning to do this? What makes me burn and want to do it over and over and over again? Do you ever ask yourself, she just raised her hand, God bless you. I'm going to ask you later what you're going to say. I want to know what you're thinking, man. I want to hear that. But do you ever ask yourself that question? You know, the older I get, the more I ask the question. And I want to share with you, if I can, a brief answer. And it's not, you might be surprised, the acceptable answer would be, well, of course, it's celebrating this liturgy here with all of you. But that's not it. Now, I have to say to you that the last 5 years have been more enriching to me in celebrating this liturgy than the previous 30. Because I know there are people in this church right here, right now, who are seeking and have an intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that matters to you. And you're seeking Jesus Christ. And you want to know, you want to hear from him. And you want to have a relationship with him. And this is all just one way of participating in that relationship. And I get that less and less and less around here. It's about, you know, fulfilling merely the obligation or punching a ticket. And that means so much to me. Your personal investment and participation in all of this. But that's not it. You might also say, well, it's about teaching or preaching the gospel, you know. That's my primary mission, by the way. This is not my primary mission. This is the source and summit of the faith. But this is not my primary. My primary mission is to teach the faith. And you might say, well, that's it. Well, not really. That's not really it. Even though it gives me a certain energy to do this, but that's not it. What's most precious to me in all this is when I see people, and I see it all the time now, somehow opening their heart to Jesus. And in more words or less, they say, Jesus, remember me. Jesus, remember me. Like that criminal, in the midst of his hopelessness, in the midst of all the struggles you have, all the difficulties you have in life, all the challenges you have, you choose to risk Jesus, that he can offer you a new life. Not just go to church, folks. You go to church for 80 years and miss the whole thing. Not just do that, but really look for Jesus and to have you a new life, a new experience of God, a new relationship with God, a whole new vision, a whole new dream. And then in the very depths of your heart, somewhere along the way, you hear words like, today, not tomorrow, today you will be with me in paradise. Right now, you're here with me in paradise. I get to see people surprised by joy, by all that. Tears going down the side of their face because they're of this joy, overwhelmed. They never knew it could be like this. I've been going to church forever. Never knew it could be like this. For me, and for people like you and me together, somewhere along the way to experience paradise right now, in this place, right here, at this moment. That's what makes me burn. That's what gets me up every morning. That's why Alpha, Crescio, small groups, and ultimately this Holy Mass are so precious to me because I get a chance to see that happen in different people's lives over and over again. Today we come to the end of our liturgical year, and next week we begin Advent. Here's our Advent small group stuff, our message series stuff, and here's the thing we want to give to you as Advent starts, and the idea is we invite you to experience a fresh hope in a whole new way. And that's the point of today, a fresh hope in the whole new way. Let's not be too busy about this Christmas stuff, this consumer stuff, to somehow miss the whole point of what, you know, Jesus is all about, this new hope in a completely new and a fresh way. We have come to the end of Luke telling us about Jesus and who Jesus is. Starting next week, Matthew gets his shot at us and what he would say about Jesus. Luke's been telling us about a Jesus who sits and eats with tax collectors, a Jesus who seeks out prodigal sons and daughters, a Jesus who heals lepers, a Jesus who people like Zacchaeus seek and they find. And every single one of them that looked Jesus in the eye like that criminal in the gospel today said, "Jesus, would you remember me? Would you remember me?" And somewhere along the way, they heard Jesus say to them in the depths of their hearts, "Today, right now, you'll be with me in paradise." So now it's our turn. As the liturgy unfolds, I invite you to open your heart to somehow be vulnerable before this vulnerable God who is completely open to you and to me, and say as the liturgy unfolds over and over, "Jesus, remember me, remember me, remember me." And hearing those words deep inside, "Today, right now, this very moment, you will be with me in paradise."